Mind you, Egypt is still there. We can visit it. In fact, we have visited it on a number of times. But on that night, God's hand was on that great land of Egypt. Verse 12 of chapter 12 of Exodus. The word of God says, I will pass. Who will pass? God, Creator. The Creator of heaven and hell. Heaven and earth. He is going to pass through the land of Egypt. That night, this night. And I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Thank God we know Him as our Lord. Stand number, verse number 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the homes, the houses, where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Amen. You've heard the choir sing? Nothing but the blood. Why are we so interested in blood? We are talking tonight of the climax of creation. This is the general title of this quarter's Sunset's Gospel, our topics. We are talking of the climax of creation. Oh, how sad it is that there are so many people well-educated, degreed, and lauding themselves with their high education, but do not know the Lord Creator, and they attribute everything to chance and time. So we are talking of the climax of creation. What is the climax? You and I are the climax. Do you know that God made fishes and fowls, animals, and finally, God made man. Do you know there is a distinct difference in the way God made animals and man? Read the account in Genesis at home. And God says, I created man in my own image, after my own likeness. And after I fashioned him with the dust of the ground, I breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So, dear friends, we have the breath of God into each one of us that differentiates us from animals. So sad for, as I said, the well-educated people to think that everything came out of nothing by itself. How sad. Climax of creation is to turn our minds back to how we began. Thank God for a man called David. He wasn't altogether a good man, but he was a very godly man. And this is what he says. When he thought over our origin, and he wrote Psalm 139, what did he say? When he pondered and considered how man came about, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He wrote this psalm long before there were microscopes, and anybody knew anything of how the fetus grows. He knew nothing of that, but he observed. And he says, it is amazing. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The way that we develop from one cell. Do you know that your trillions of cells that make you and me came from one cell, just one cell. And that one cell, if you were to put on the edge of your Bible, 10,000 cells can line up there and all invisible. From that one cell has come you and me. David says, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, and that my soul knows right well. Those who pretend or claim that they don't know and concoct the theory of evolution, you know what God's word has to say about that? God doesn't waste words on these people. Just one word. Fools. Just one word. For any man to think that man came from nothing, amoeba, or from monkeys. You know, this was taught to us in medicine when I started to study medicine. But thank God for David. He says, when I ponder and I look through how we, humankind, have grown up, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Who made me? Ah, dear friends, thank God that you know the Creator Himself. He made us and He loves us. And the same writer says this, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. When I think of it, I just give up. Do you, dear friends? Can you understand how we all grew up from one cell into what we are? Except for the mercy and creative genius of God that we cannot understand. Now this is what the Word of God says of these so-called evolutionists. They knew God, but they glorified Him not as God, but became vain in their own imaginations. They began to puzzle out to themselves because of their inborn pride and arrogance. They laugh at us. Oh, you old-fashioned people. So they became vain and they became fools. Exactly, fools. You know what the Word of God says? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, both. The greatest knowledge that we can ever possess is to know what? That God made us. Is to acknowledge the Creator. That is the greatest wisdom. Now tonight our attention is focused on the Red River of Life. This is the title. Did it provoke you, some of you at least, to ponder? What are you going to talk about? A red river? Is there a river anywhere that is red? I'm going to tell you of that river. An amazing river in each of us, in you and me. It doesn't flow in one straight line, but in millions of little streams. Do you know? This is the Red River of Life. If you were to stretch them all out into individual lines and join them together, It can go around the world at the equator 2.5 times, 60,000 miles, reaching to what? To every cell in your body. How many cells do you have? I think it's trillion cells. So many you cannot count them. And every cell needs to be nourished, to be serviced. Every moment of your life, that cell in you, every cell in you must be serviced by what? By that red river of life that flows through you. We're going to learn a few more things about this wonderful river. It nourishes, it cleanses, it regulates all the functions of these trillions of cells in you and me. You cannot sit here comfortably breathing away. Do you know every breath you take? You breathe in what? Oxygen, of course. Oxygen. But it's not pure oxygen. Oxygen, about 20%. The rest is nitrogen. This, from what I understand, I remember. And carrying these life gases, which are essential to every cell in your body and in mine, is this red river of life that flows, that is kept flowing by a small pump size of your fist in your chest called the heart. It goes pumping, pumping, pumping. You know, your car needs a pump called the carburetor. It keeps pumping gas also through the car. But that car must go for regular servicing. Maybe yours is supercar, once a year. But many cars are monthly, 2 monthly, 6 monthly, yearly, maybe 2 years. But you know this wonderful system in us, energized by the pump in the center here, called the heart. That heart doesn't go for regular servicing. Do you know that? There's no day when you say, I'm off, I cannot work today. My heart is going for servicing. Nope. Amazing. And that heart is the pump that keeps the blood flowing in this red river of life. You're going to hear more of this river of life in a moment. Now I have a question. I have a question for all the learned people sitting there. What makes blood red? Can you tell me? Why is it red and not blue or purple or black or just muddy color? Why? I should have blocked this out. I gave it the answer. There's a stuff in the blood called hemoglobin. Not hemoglobin. Globin. What is hemoglobin? Ah, you girls who need lipstick. When there is enough hemoglobin, you don't need lipsticks. It is red. And so we have entitled tonight's message as Red River of Life. You see the red. I'm sorry. These are the red blood cells magnified thousands, billions of times. The cells are invisible, but every cell is not round. It's round in shape, but in configuration it is a disc. It's like a coin with the rims a bit bloated. So you can see some of these. I'm sorry, the projector is, or my OHP is not good enough. Can you see the cells are coin shaped? They are discs. Why are they discs? Did you ever ask yourself? Do you know? Maybe you don't even know it. I'm telling you,
Firstly, the surface is greater for the size of it. And that surface is very important because on that surface is attached your oxygen that is necessary for the tissue cells. Every blood cell in the lungs, by the way, ever since I stood here this evening, my heart has been beating 85 times by order of a pacemaker. I have a pacemaker. You don't have. You have it in your own heart. But my heart pacemaker went rosak. So they put in the one, mechanical one, that goes and ensures that my heart must not stop. Every minute it beats 85 times. Keep on beating. And as it beats, it sends the blood through the whole body. But please understand, there are two systems. One is the pulmonary system that pumps the blood to the lungs. And the main pump on the left side of the heart pumps to the rest of the whole body. Is that clear? There are two parts to the heart. The right heart and the left heart. Together they pump together. Alright, the right heart pumps to the lungs. And in the lungs the blood is purified, absorbing oxygen from the air that you breathe. Mind you, thank God it is free. If you have to pay for it, I don't know how much we have to pay. Each PUB bill will be very high. If you say the air in Singapore costs so much, but we get it free. Who sent it to us? Almighty God created the oxygen and the nitrogen and the carbon dioxide which we produce. So when you breathe, the air takes in oxygen and pumps out, what is it? Carbon dioxide. Do you know that? I'm giving you simple elementary physiology. Alright. Now the hemoglobin has a special affinity for oxygen that it absorbs as soon as it knows the oxygen is there, absorbs and pumps out all the carbon dioxide. Where? In the lungs. And so charged with oxygen, it flows. This red river of life goes to every cell in your tissues. Do you know that? Of course, you sit here, you don't know anything. But it is happening day and night, whether you are awake or asleep, that heart goes on. As I said, it never takes a holiday. Heart keeps on pumping away. Who did it? David says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that God put this heart into me that keep me going. Let me tell you a story. A friend of mine says, my cousin invited me to a holiday. And after lunch one day, he says, I don't feel very well. And the next moment he was unconscious, so fast. So cousin and cousin, let me, by the way, he's a doctor, cousin. So he looked at him and helped to try to resuscitate, but that was his last. The heart stopped. And in no time, all the cells, the 2 trillion cells, expired. And when your brain cells stop, there's no more oxygen, you don't do anymore. You just go. Goodbye. So the red river of life stopped there and then. And no matter what you do, you finish. That is the end of life, you know. When the red river of life does not function, you finish. And that day will come to all of us, sooner or later. Now I ask you another question. By this time, I've given you all the answers. What is hemoglobin? I told you it is a protein, red in color, and appears where the skin and the lips, especially the mucous membrane, is thin. And so the amount of hemoglobin you have shows through in your red lips. But ladies like to enhance the redness with lipstick. But essentially it is hemoglobin that you show off. Do you know that? Yeah. Your ruddy complexion. When you're too suntanned, of course the ruddiness disappears. Now it is a respiratory pigment that is naturally red in color. And it has the power to absorb oxygen and give off carbon dioxide and do the reverse. When it gets to the tissue, it takes on carbon dioxide and gives up the oxygen to your cells. Is that clear? Thank God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, full of hemoglobin. So it is this blood that sustains so many functions. What are functions? I've mainly mentioned respiration, nutrition. It is the blood that carries all the nutrients absorbed from your intestines. When you eat, goes to the stomach, goes to the small intestines, and that is where all the blood absorbs the nutrients for the nutrition of your body, for the excretion. When the blood goes to the kidneys, poor people, some of our people, kidneys break down and they go for dialysis. Ever heard of it? Very expensive and very time consuming and oftentimes painful. You got to go there and have the body strapped up and then got into the circulation together to get your blood cleansed. All of us sitting here don't need dialysis, but it is going on quietly while you sit. Your kidney does the job. Excretion. Body defenses. Do you know why we get flu so often? Because your body defenses break down. And who put the body defenses there? Who? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank God we have such a thing as an immune system. Where is the immune system? In the blood. So this is the blood sustains us. All this means the blood is life. Who told us this? God. Do you know this? God put it in there and told us. And say, on this night, you must display the blood. That is the life. When you display the blood, whose blood is it? The blood of the Lamb. Whose Lamb? God's Lamb. When John saw Jesus appear, he says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Is a reflection of that night in Egypt. God says, this night you will understand what I mean when I talk of the blood of the Lamb. All my houses, all the Jewish families will put the blood on the top post or the two side posts of every house. It must display the blood, which is the life. That house will be spared and it will have life. But all those not so protected will be entered into. Here is a bit of a revision. Two functions of blood, two functions. One is that all of us understand. Number two is a spiritual function, which those who believe understand. We understand, you ought to understand, I understand, that God has the second function through the blood of Jesus that He shed on the cross. Why did He have to shed the blood on the cross? Why could He not have saved us some other way? Question reserved for you to ask God when you get to heaven, but I'm telling you the answer now. Because God put that blood into Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the pure blood, the cleansing blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from your sin. Do you know that? This is God's formula. Not mine, not yours, but offered to us. This is found in Leviticus 17, verse 11. So, this is the spiritual function of blood, Red River of Life. It's amazing that God saw. Of course, God saw, because He invented, He created blood. He created blood for mankind, and He put into Jesus that special blood for us. That when He bleeds that blood, those who look to Him are saved. Blood has that spiritual function. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. It is the blood that makes an atonement. Now I want to explain the meaning of atonement. If you open to your dictionary, it breaks the word into two. At one. Atone. Do you see the atone? A-T-O-N-E. Alright. When you break it up, it is at one. Here it is. At one moment is atonement. What do you mean by atone? When Jesus atoned for our sins, shedding His blood, He made us, made peace for us, that we can come to God and be at one with God. This is the meaning of atonement. Do you get it? Is it clear? Oh dear friends, it is an amazing word. And it is an essential word. Without that atonement, we cannot have peace with God. His own Son shed His blood to make us at one, able to come to God and be accepted by Him at one. Atone. On the cross, He did it for us. That's why the cross is so important. Hebrews 9:22 is a verse you ought to know. And the writer of Hebrews tells us, without the shedding of that blood, whose blood? Not yours or mine, but the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. That is why when Jesus appeared on the scene, the Apostle John says, behold, the Lamb of God walking down here. Jesus, that takes away the sins of the world. And without the shedding of that blood, there is no remission. The blood of the Lamb. I like this verse a lot, very much. Christ our High Priest, by His own blood entered in once into the holiest place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Until Jesus came, the high priest himself went into that holiest place once a year, and not without blood. Having shed the blood of the Lamb, then he went in with the blood to meet with God once a year on our behalf. But when Jesus came, he himself went through that veil, went into the holiest with his own blood, and he atoned for our sins for us. For this reason, there is a prohibition on blood. We are not to eat blood by commandment of God. You say, hey, it tastes not bad, you know. We are not talking of taste. We are talking of obedience. When God says, don't eat blood, because you must have respect for that blood, reverence for the blood, prohibition of God, be sure thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life. Those of you who have it included in your diet, I think it's good that you understand this now and stop eating blood. The life is in the blood. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17:11. Read it in your Bibles. Make a note of it. So blood must not be eaten. Thank God for the red river of life, even the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Now we shall sing the closing hymn, There is Power in the Blood, 281.